Well, I welcome you again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and we're back today to talk some more about prayer. I thank you for joining us, and God bless you for honoring your Lord and my Lord, the one and true God, the God that's the living God. He's not one of these gods that's got a mouth and can't talk, and got ears that can't hear, and feet that can't move and walk. But our God is a living God. He's the creator of all things, and we love him, don't we? Yes, we do. Now, we're in the letter P today, and if you got your pencils and your paper, if that's what you're using, they come in handy. You don't have to use them, but to have them around, they come in handy because, and it's a smart thing to keep, if you don't, I ain't calling you saying that you're not smart. I'm just saying that it's, as far as spiritual warfare goes, it's good to keep pencil and paper around when you're studying the Word of God, because God the Holy Ghost will give you something and give you a truth, and you'll say, man, I want to remember that, and then you'll not have pencil or paper to write it down on, and you don't want to leave your lesson, you know, so you continue listening to your lesson, and by the time you get to the end of your lesson, guess what? You done forgot it. And when you go to try to remember it, the devil's done snatched it from you, and he does that. Don't you believe he don't. He'll steal that word from you as quick as he can. So if you got your pencil paper around, you can just jot it down right quick while you're listening and go on and have it there for later. And a lot of times the things that the Lord gives you during a lesson are some of the closest things that all of God's word is valuable to you, but some of the things that the Lord speaks to you whenever we're studying and things, the personal things that the Lord speaks to you that you are urged to write down or urged to remember or to study a little farther. I want to find more out about that. Are usually the things that are personal to us that will apply to our personal walk with the Lord, have something to do with something like that. They do with me anyway. And I'm a lot of times when I don't write something down right away, I'm disappointed and with myself because I knew better. But anyway, just a suggestion. Well, we're in the letter P, and we're going to go into our seventh lesson for this category. And last time in the letter P, we talked about personal requirements. Well, in the past, we have talked about personal requirements needed to get prayers answered. And do you remember what they were? The four conditions for getting prayers answered. It was according to God's will. And regarding iniquity in our heart, I think I skipped one there, but if you remember, and by asking by faith, remember, and that we pray by faith. Now, we said that the Lord always answers prayer, and he answers by yes and by no, and then by wait, and depending on how much you want it, and a lot of times the Lord will have you to, he'll have you to wait on it to see how much you want it, or to for you to think on the thing and see if that's really what you need or whether it's going. And the Lord lets, he don't treat us like somebody. He don't treat us like people that are stupid and that we can't figure things out ourselves. A lot of times, it's the same way you teach your children. I mean, you don't teach them to ride a bicycle by riding it for them all the time and showing them how to do it all the time. And then you go to teach them the next lesson, you get on it and ride it for them, and then you get on it and ride it for them. Eventually, you put them on it and let them try it. And that's what the Lord does with us. And when we ask him for things, a lot of times he feels us out about it to see what we really think about it and see if that's really what we want to ask him for. So, and then, of course, we get the answers of yes, which are all the good things. The Lord said, no good thing would the Lord withhold from them that love him. And then the bad things. And, of course, we remember what they were. And that's the main thing the Lord said there in the book of James, was that we ask and we receive not, because we ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. And every one of us is guilty of it. But once we know, we ought to know better. And once we know, we ought to make a change and not ask the Lord for things that we don't need or that are bad for us, that is. You know, we can all get along without, I remember a day whenever you were out of something, you were really out of it. In other words, you say, well, I'm out of bread. That don't mean you got a half a loaf left. That means you're out. And you didn't need something until you were completely out of it. Nowadays, needing is, well, I only got half my freezer full. And I need to get the rest of the freezer full, so I'm in need. That's not need. And a lot of times, I mean, society and people, Christians, have their minds have changed in the matter of what they really need, what needs and wants are, see. And a lot of times we really don't need what we say we need. And the only time you need something is that you don't have any of it, you see. And I encourage you to try to live like that. Live until you use, live with your groceries. I mean, a lot of you can't do it because you got big families and you have to have stuff set aside. Nothing wrong with that. But trying to live until you're out of something. You know, and then we had another saying that if you was, that if you run out of something, then you, now you're not going to like this. I don't know if you've heard it before. It might be a generation that's never heard this, and I bet there is. But if you was out of something, you did without. Remember that? Half of you about to hang up on me, ain't you? But, you do without. That's something that this this world don't know anything about anymore, is doing without. Doing without. So, see, a lot of your prayers having to do with the Lord ain't got nothing to do with the way that society thinks and stuff like that. The Lord doesn't think like men think. And when it comes to answering prayers, the Lord evaluates it completely differently than what we would evaluate it as in our stingy, selfish, and lusty ways. But even a man at his best is altogether vanity. So that's why God the Holy Ghost comes in, and he takes our prayers and he fashions them into something that would be worth taking before the Father. And that the Father doesn't raise an eyebrow when he hears our prayer, you know, like, what in the world? But yes and no and wait. But the Bible says that the Lord ready to answer your prayers, and that he's said no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That walk uprightly. And people that are walking uprightly are usually suffering and sacrificing and showing the Lord that that they are thankful for the sacrifice of his son, and they are thankful to be in his family, and that they want to live for him and love him. So today we're going to go into another category, and it's called the things that will stop your prayers from getting answered. Things that will stop prayers from getting answered. So let's move right on into that, and let's see here. The first thing that'll stop you from getting, I mean, if you had to answer that, what stops your prayers from getting answered? I mean, if you had to say something that stops your prayers from getting answered personally, what would it be? What would it be? What is it about you that, and you ain't no worse than anybody else, and you ain't no better than anybody else, but what is it about you and your personal prayer and your conversation and your conversing with the Lord that would stop your prayers from getting answered? What is it about something in your life right now or anything about you that would be a condition to where God would not answer your prayer? Are you willing to, I mean, are you sure that would stop your prayers? Well, does the Bible say that? Well, if it does, then would you be willing to do something about it? Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. So things that will stop your prayers from getting answered. And, I mean, in Jeremiah, the Lord even commanded Jeremiah one time and said, don't pray for them anymore. Do not pray for them. You say, what? Yeah. The Lord gets to the point to where people get so stupid, and that the Lord just says, okay, I don't want to hear no more of it. Don't pray for them. It wasn't that Jeremiah was praying for himself. He was praying for somebody else. But they said, don't pray for them anymore. I don't want to hear no more prayers for them. Now, that would be a sad situation to get into, wouldn't it? Or that the Lord would not want to hear anything about you anymore because you done got so silly with him and foolish and stupid with him about praying that that he wouldn't even let anybody else pray for you. But things that'll stop your prayers from getting answered. Here's the first one. Luke chapter 18, verse 11 through 14. Listen to this. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. You probably already got the answer. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, of course, we know that was the Lord talking there. And when it comes to somebody getting their prayers answered, and both of these people were praying, the Pharisee was praying and the publican was praying. And the Pharisee said his prayers and the publican said his prayers. And which one did Jesus say was worthy and justified? He said that the publican's prayer was worthy and justified. Why? He said that he went down to his house justified rather than the other. In other words, Jesus chose one out of the two that his prayer was worthy to have been heard and was justified by his prayer. His prayer meant something and it got an answer. What was it? Well, what hindered the other guy's prayer? It was pride. Pride. Telling God how good you are. That's what he was doing. He said he stood and prayed thus within himself. He was talking to himself too. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm glad I ain't like that old whore down the road. I'm glad I ain't like that drunkard. Lord, I'm glad I ain't like that old backbiter down the road that talks behind them people's back all the time. I'm glad I ain't like them. And I'm glad I ain't like other men are. And I'm glad I ain't like other women are. They're extortioners and unjust and adulterers. And even as that publican are sitting right next to me trying to pray next to me. I fast twice a week and go to telling God what you do for him, you know, bragging. I fast twice a week, and I give my tithes of all that I possess. Well, who possessed it before you got it, Pharisee? The Lord. How'd you get a hold of it, Pharisee? The Lord. So you're actually just giving him back what belongs to him, right? And he's giving you 90% of it, right? But I give the tithes, though. I mean, God, don't you know that I give the tithes? And the publican standing afar off, he couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He was so sick of himself. He didn't mention what he had done. It said, see, the publican was telling all the good things that he'd done and describing himself to God and all his works to God. It said that the publican couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. He didn't mention one thing that he did wrong or that he did right. He was sick of himself. Jesus said, a man like that, or a woman like that, that is sorry not for what they've done, even though we should be, the Bible says to confess it, but not only sorry for what they've done, but sorry for who they are. That you're that kind of a person in your heart, and that kind of a person in your thinking, and that kind of a person in your behavior. That you are that kind of a person. He repented. And one of the things that will stop prayer from getting answered is pride. You think that you're somebody. You think that it's God's privilege to hear you pray. You think that whenever you pray, everybody stands back and just stands in awe because of your prayer, because you're somebody. Brothers and sisters, that'll get your prayers not answered. Matter of fact, the Lord will shut the doors. He said he'll turn his ears away from it. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know how people walk around with their chin up in the air, and you can see it in their walk. I mean, we're not stupid. We can see things. We can see the cover of a book and know what the book's about. And people walking around, haughty, and got that haughty spirit about them. The Lord don't listen to that. And it says that the people that are haughty, pride goeth before destruction, not before answered prayer. It goes before destruction. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be careful about our pride. We got nothing to be proud of. The Son of God had to come from heaven to take care. Things were so bad that the Son of God had to come from heaven and shed God's blood, because we so proud that we couldn't help ourselves. He had to come and humble himself in spite of our pride so that we could go to heaven and we could live eternally. That's the first thing, pride. There's another one. In Proverbs chapter 21, talking about getting our prayers answered, or what will hinder our, stop our prayers from getting answered. The second thing is in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. It says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but he shall not be heard." What kind of thing right there in that verse will stop you from getting your prayers answered? Let me read it to you again. "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." What would that be? Something that would stop your prayer from getting answered in that verse. Lack of compassion. Lack of compassion. Do you know that compassion is something that is exercised on purpose? Compassion is not accidental. Compassion is something, it's a choice. It's something that you choose to be like and you choose to exercise in your life. And you have to do it on purpose. And eventually when you do it on purpose enough, it becomes part of you. And you begin to conform into the image of Jesus Christ. And you even begin to love your compassion. And love compassion. But most compassion is done on purpose. Compassion. Not being compassionate. I mean, the verse don't get no plainer. The Bible said, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor." Have you ever heard somebody that's... I ain't talking about some of these bums that stand out on the road and tap on your window and put a sign down in your face on your window saying that they need some help. That ain't what I'm talking about. And some of them might genuinely need some help, but the ones around my town don't. The ones around my town are arrogant. And you want to get out and smack them across the head and tell them go get a job. They get mad at you when you tell them that. And if you offer them a sandwich, they get mad at you. They got a sign that says they're hungry. And you say, "Well, that's the whole problem. I can't be compassionate with people." Yes, you can. You can tell who really needs help and who doesn't. And besides what society says and everything else and how needy everybody is and how minority everybody is and blabbity, 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 blab, you can still tell by the signs of who really needs help and who doesn't. You can tell. But when you find somebody that really does need help and your heart stretches, your heart, it triggers your heart off of it, what do you do? Do you do what you can? Do you start figuring out, well, what you're going to have left after you help them? Or do you want to know what their needs are so you can satisfy them right away and we'll worry about all the rest later? Let's just take care of this problem. A lack of compassion will stop you from getting your prayers answered. If God doesn't think, if you ain't got the kind of heart that would give to somebody else, then what makes you think God's going to listen to you? I mean, you teach your children to be compassionate and giving and to care about others. Why? Because it's right. It's right. Whoso stoppeth his ears. In other words, it's not that you, it's that you chose to stop, you chose to turn your ears away from it, and you chose to stop seeing the need. Stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor. He also shall cry himself, but he shall not be heard. Pride will stop your prayers from getting answered, and also a lack of compassion. You husbands and wives, how come y'all ain't compassionate with one another no more? How come you don't care about nobody but yourself? How come you don't care about the other person like you used to care about them? Because you quit caring about them. The reason you cared about them before wasn't because they was doing anything about it. It was because you wanted to. And now you don't. How come your parents ain't compassionate to your children? How come you don't hear their needs? Lack of compassion. I didn't say take care of them. I said hear their needs. Lack of compassion. Another one that'll stop you from getting your prayers answered. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Listen to this. He that turneth away, wait a minute, Proverbs chapter, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. What in that verse right there would stop your prayers from getting answered? It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Well, failure to listen to God's word, right? It's kind of like you listen, but you don't hear. When you hear Jesus warning people, it says, he always used to say, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He said, he that hath an ear to hear. What do you mean, Jesus? Everybody's got ears. No. Everybody's got ears, and ears, because you got ears, you can listen and you hear things. But the Bible says, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear. In other words, it's not just passing by like the sound of an airplane. It's something that you're paying attention to and you're evaluating, and it's not going in, and you're hearing it, and it's going in your heart. Failure to listen to God's word would stop your prayers from getting answered. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13:13, I believe it is, 13:13, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. And the Lord said, if you turn away your ears from hearing his word, you don't want to listen to his word anymore, it says your prayers are going to be an abomination to the Lord. You don't respect his word enough to listen to it, or to honor it, or to admonish it, then he's not going to respect you enough to listen to what you got to say. That's fair, right? That's fair. But things that'll stop your prayers from getting answered. I didn't say that you had a hard time reading your word, because if you're sincere about reading God's word, you're going to have a battle with it. That's absolutely right. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that God the Holy Ghost or the preacher or your Bible study or whatever it might be in God's word has spoken something to you and you turn your ears away from it and you don't listen to what it's telling you. You hear it on purpose. Failure to listen to God's word will stop your prayers from getting answered. Another one, James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. According to that verse right there, what will stop your prayers from getting answered? Being double-minded, right? What do you mean double-minded? Well, you have no absolutes. Today you're thinking this way about it. Tomorrow you're thinking another way about it. You're not settled, established, strengthened in the faith. You won't choose right and just let it be right. You choose right and wrong. You like this world. You're being convinced by this this liberal socialistic society that's coming in that everybody's the same. Let's all come together. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. Matter of fact, whenever I first started, got saved, one of the first lessons that they taught me was about separation. That was a main topic of doctrine that they began to teach right off the bat when a person got saved was separation. But double-mindedness, you wishy-washy. One way this way, another day that way. Another day this way, another day that way. That'll stop your prayers from getting answered. The Lord expects you that once you know better, you ought to do better. And once you know what God expects out of you, it ought to be exciting for you, and you ought to be thankful that now you know the truth, and now you can conform in. You can conform to it with God the Holy Ghost's help. And you can be like what God wants you to be like. And trust me, if you get involved instead of being rebellious in what the Lord wants to make you and is turning you into the image of Christ even now while you're here, he's conforming you into the image of Christ in your thinking, in your behavior, in your character, in your integrity, in everything, in your spirit. And if you get involved in it and do it because you want to, you're going to love that person the Lord's turning you into. Double-mindedness. Pride will stop you from getting your prayers answered. Lack of compassion will stop you from getting your prayers answered. Failure to listen to God's words will get you, stop the Lord from listening to your prayers. Now, I'm reading you what the scriptures say. I ain't making this up. Do you care? Of course you do. And double-mindedness will stop your prayers from getting answered. Here's another one. James chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Asking the Lord for something, I've been there before. Man, I was in such bad shape one time, I tell you. I was in such bad shape one time in drinking that I used to go to this one store, and I'll never forget it. I used to go to this one store, and there was this one cashier. She worked behind the counter all the time, and I'd go in there and buy a case of beer, and was a regular beer buyer in that store. And the Lord got me down so far and was mashing down on me so far that I was digging ashed up pennies out of the ashtray to go in there and buy me a beer for breakfast. And I went in there one day, and I had pulled out all them dirty pennies out of my pocket and old dirty nickels and dimes and stuff like that, and started laying them out on the counter. And that woman almost broke down in tears. She felt so sorry for me. And she, I don't know if she's saved or not. She watched me buy beer all the time, you know, and this, that, and the other. But the Lord had gotten me down so miserable in my life that, and showing me and teaching me. And I went in there to buy that, and she felt so sorry for me. She said, "I'll buy you one this morning." And I'll never forget that. I was ashamed. And I don't know why I said all that about concerning this, things that stop prayers from getting answered, but it says that the Bible says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Oh, I know what I was going to say. I was going to say, you're digging pennies and you're digging nickels out of the ashtray so you can go get you a beer for the morning, and you ain't got enough, so you stop just a minute and pray and ask God to let you find some in the parking lot so you can go buy you a beer. Yeah, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You know what you can ask God for and what you can't. Your children know what they can ask the Lord, ask you for, come and ask you for, and what they wasting their time about. And so do you. And the Lord said, your lusts, your fleshly lust is what it's talking about. The lust of your flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Don't ask God for anything that has to do with them things. Those are the enemy. Those are the things that the devil tries to get you hitched up with so you can forget God. Things that will stop your prayers from getting answered. That's definitely one of them. Lust. And asking God for something so that you can use it for your lusts is vanity, because he's not going to give it to you. Because God's against lust. He's against lust. The flesh is what lusts. There's another one. Let's read it. Psalm chapter 66, verse 18. The Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Another one says, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Who said King James Bible is hard to understand? I didn't miss a lick of that, did you? That's just as plain a five-year-old child could understand that. You ask little Susie, what did that mean I just read? Well, it means, preacher, that if you're being bad, God's not going to give you what you want. There's scholars that can't figure that out. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you're going to live with sin and you're going to welcome sin, I remember, for example, whenever I was living wicked and out of the will of God, and I'm telling you about me because I don't know anything about you. You can tell about yourself. I used to go in and out of my house. I'd open my door and the door would swing open to a table that I had behind the door, a little welcome table kind of thing, that I had behind the door in between the door when it was open and the wall that was behind the door. And on that table I had a little doily, knitted placemat. I think I got it from Grandma or something a long time ago. And on that doily I had my Bible open. and had it opened up all the way and just laying there all pretty and everything so people could see my Bible when they come in and see my Bible when they left. That didn't represent absolutely squat. Because I'd walk into that door with a couple cases of beer on my shoulder and walk right past that Bible and walk in that door with a couple 8 balls of cocaine in my pocket and some meth in my pocket and walk in there and sit in the living room right beside the Bible, right beside the door. And that was sitting there all nice and pretty and everything else, and then walk right out past it to go get some more. I regarded iniquity in my heart. I let it be in there. I didn't do anything about it. As a matter of fact, I cultivated it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And I tell you what I think now. As bad as that cocaine and that booze and that drunkenness and all that goes along with that kind of mess, as bad and miserable as it was, there ain't a whole lot that's more miserable than knowing that God won't listen to you. And knowing it. Knowing that the Lord won't hear your prayer because of the way that you are. And you won't change. That's bad. But what would be one according to that? It'd be unconfessed sin. You won't tell God you're sorry. Don't sit there and act like you don't know what we're talking about. Every one of us is guilty of that. Walking around pretending and sticking it down and down and deep and just packing it down in that heart just as far as you can pack it. So you can hardly see it, and you hide it, hiding it from God. That's what we're doing. We're hiding it from God, ain't we? I know what I'm talking about. You know what you're talking about. Hiding it from God. Unconfessed sin will stop you from getting your prayers answered. The Lord made it so easy to get your sins forgiven. After Jesus finished the work on the cross, the only thing that the New Testament tells us as a saved, born-again child of God, and when we sin, the Lord didn't even say that we had to ask that we're already forgiven for past, present, and future sins. But the Lord even provided a way to get rid of the guilt, because he knew we're still in the flesh and we're still going to sin. So, in order for us to stay in fellowship with him, he made it possible for us to come before his throne because of what Jesus has done and confess our sins. He already knows you did it. What he wants you to do is come and confess it. And then when you confess it in your heart, telling the absolute truth, not whitewashing it, but telling it, I did it, but what's his name, nah, Lord, I'm guilty. I lied, and I wanted to lie, and I made up a lie, and I lied, and I knew I was lying when I lied, and I lied because I wanted to, and I lied on purpose. And I'm sorry. And as soon as the Lord hears that sincerity in your heart, you know what he'll do. He'll forgive that thing right away, and not only forgive it, but he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll take away the guilt of it and let you keep on living. That's our wonderful Lord. Why won't you tell him you're sorry? The worst that can happen is that he'll forgive you. You know why you won't tell him? Because you don't want to quit it. You don't want to quit it. That's right. But as soon as you do, then the Lord will start listening to you again. But unconfessed sin will stop your prayers from getting answered. Sure will. There's another one. Zechariah talks about some. Chapter 7, verse 8 through 14. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, said the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. It's all about them talking to the Lord. And he said, when I talk to them, they won't listen. And when they talk to me, I ain't listening. According to Zechariah right there, what can stop your prayers from getting answered? Stubbornness. Being stubborn. Don't sit there and act like you're not stubborn either. Every one of us got a problem with that. Some of us worse than others. Until the Lord gives you a big enough spanking. Stubbornness. Being stubborn. Turning your shoulder. Pull away the shoulder and stop the ears. You know what's so wonderful about church and hearing preachers, and why you ought to go to church and listen to a preacher? Is because God puts the man of God up in the pulpit. Now, a lot of the preachers have left that and have gone to their belly and starting to fill their belly rather than sacrifice for the flock. But I'm not saying that's your pastor. I'm just saying if you've got a good pastor that sits up there and reads the Word of God and teaches you the sense of the Word of God, and he tells you ought to quit this and you ought to quit that, he's doing you a favor. Because he's laying it right on the line as straight as it can go, not for you to have to figure out. And he's doing you a favor and making it easy for you to come to the Lord and get confess and get yourself cleaned up before the Lord. Because the Lord promises every time you confess it, He'll forgive you and cleanse you every time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But his long suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now it's talking about a lost man, but it's also giving us a spiritual sense and a spiritual lesson on confessing our sins before the Lord. It starts in the heart. But you turn that shoulder around and you stop the ears. That'll stop your prayers from getting answered. Why don't you just tell God you're sorry? And quit being so stubborn. Because you know why? It's kind of like I heard a preacher say one time that there was this man that was barbecuing out in his front yard. And he had some steaks on that grill. And this old dog, this old hound dog from down the road, he was out there in the driveway, had his nose down on the ground. He was sniffing around. He smelled that steak. And he was sniffing. That guy threw some rocks. Get out of here. Get. And the dog went up the road a little bit. And then the next time he turned around, the dog sniffing, getting up the driveway and sniffing around. He can smell it, you know. And his little mouth is watering and everything else. Well, that man had to go inside for a minute, go get something. When he went in, on the way back out, he heard something just yelling and screaming like crazy. Yo, 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 like old dog just hollering in pain and everything else. And he come outside, and that dog was running down the road and had one of them hot steaks in his mouth. And he was running with that steak in his mouth, and it was so good that he wouldn't let it go, even though it was burning his mouth, and he was yelling because it was hurting so bad. And that's how some of y'all are. My sin's hurting so bad, you just yelling like crazy, but it tastes so good that you just don't want to let it go. Bible says sin is good for a season, just for a season. Stubbornness. There's another one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord." It's the way things are supposed to be. As it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Will it stop your prayers from getting answered? Bitterness. Bitterness. You husbands and wives that are listening to this right now, are you bitter against your wife? Are you bitter against your husband? Are you? Yes or no? If you are, how come you won't confess it? How come you won't talk to him about it? How come you won't get that thing right? You wives, how come you won't submit yourself to your husband as it's fit in the Lord and the Bible says, and you know you'd be obeying God doing that? Husbands, how come you won't love your wives and not be bitter against them? Why won't you put forth the effort to do that just because God says so? Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. That's an on-purpose command. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's an on-purpose command. The way that you don't be bitter against your wife is that it's on purpose. Bitterness will stop your prayers from getting answered. Things that will stop your prayers from getting answered. Pride, lack of compassion, failure to listen to God's word, double-mindedness, selfish motives, unconfessed sin, stubbornness, bitterness. That's not all. You said, that ain't all. No, just a few more. We find this one in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them." And that ain't talking about anybody, them, like the harlots or your girlfriend or somebody like that. Dwell with them, talking about your wife. "Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Prayers as in plural. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Figure her out. "Give an honor unto the wife." Husbands, do you honor your wife? The Bible didn't say if you wanted to or she deserved it. It said, honor her. Give an honor unto the wife. You know, you don't hurt things that you honor. I'm just telling you, fellas, some of you honor your tools more than you do your wife. You wouldn't dare hurt any of them tools. You wipe them off, you put them up, you put them right back in the same place, you respect them, you honor them. You honor your animals, but you won't honor your wife? "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." I don't care if she is puffed up and thinks she's a man and thinks that she's got her rights and blabbity, 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 blob. The Bible says she's the weaker vessel. So go ahead and just believe the Bible and honor her anyway, and she'll get over herself. "And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Poor relationship in a marriage, holding grudges. You know, some husband and wives have some of the silliest things that go on for 40 and 50 years between that husband and wife. Just because a husband won't honor and dwell with her according to knowledge as the weaker vessel, and the wife will not submit herself to her husband. You live 40 years of your life in misery over something that's stupid just because you have a poor relationship because you're holding a grudge, because you won't confess it and you won't get it right with God and get it right with each other. And God won't answer your prayers about straightening it out because you won't do what He says about straightening out your part as you should be doing. If you're not going to be courageous enough and honor the Lord enough to do what He says will work, He's not going to do the rest of it and bring it all back together. He lets you go 40 and 50 years miserable. Why you want to live like that? Christians ought not be living like that. I remember one time that made me, I was listening to a preacher that I admired. And he wasn't my preacher, but he was a preacher that I took the fellas from this troubled ministry all the time. We went to that church, and I let them hear his preaching. And he was just kind of just telling a little bit about some things. And one service we were sitting there, and he says, "You know something that happened to me last night and that I never even realized before, something that I really appreciate about what God's done for me?" And he sat there and he said, "Me and my wife was going to bed, and we was both laying there fixing to go to bed and turn the light out, and then we both set up and we both got a hymnal and we just sang some praises to the Lord right there in bed, sitting in bed before we went before we went to sleep." And he said I was just my heart was just tickled because God gave me a woman that we were close enough to where we could magnify the Lord together. How tremendous is that? That's the way God wants you to live. Both of you are one. You ought to behave as one and magnify the Lord as one. And the Lord's given you the answers to how to clear up all the stupid stuff in between you if you just do it. Things that'll stop your prayers from getting answered is a poor relationship in your marriage and holding grudges and all that kind of garbage like that. It ain't worth it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, or 22, excuse me. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight." Things that will stop your prayers from getting answered. What does that verse right there tell us? It tells us that we should be doing the things that are pleasing in God's sight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 teaches us that one thing that will keep your prayers from getting answered is displeasing things. Doing things that displease the Lord. You say, "Well, that's kind of elementary. Everybody knows that if you..." Well, then how come we're having troubles with it? If everybody knows it, how come everybody ain't got it straightened up? Displeasing things to the Lord. Can you think of any? What about cussing your wife out? What about looking at that man, woman, and thinking things that you ought not be thinking? What about thinking about divorce or some kind of stupid stuff like that? Oh, well, if you want a divorce, you can go right down to Staples down there. They got a little divorce kit you can buy in a cardboard little folder, and it's got all the papers in it that you need to fill out, and all you got to do is fill them out and go turn them in, and instant divorce. Isn't that something? Doing things that are displeasing in the Lord's sight will keep you from getting your prayers answered. You say, "I don't know if I want to listen to more of this prayer stuff." Well, that's your business. But it's the Bible. It's what God's Word says. And brothers and sisters, if we will take heed to God's Word and just at least try to change, then God will start listening to you and He'll start helping you. The Lord comes alongside. He's our advocate. But the Lord's not going to take a step until you take a step. You take a step, He'll take two. And I'm speaking from experience. When I didn't want to, the Lord sat back and didn't make me. But when I did want to, the Lord come alongside and carried me most of the way. I know what I'm talking about. And I give him praise and honor and glory for it. I ain't saying I'm living high on the hog or I'm somebody, but I'm taking the Lord a lot more seriously nowadays than I used to, because I know how much He loves me and He's shown me. And He's real and He's there, and we ought not treat Him like a dog. Or like you're holding some kind of handkerchief and throwing it around in the air, like you can just do God like that. The Lord wants to be loved because we choose to love Him, not because we have to love Him. The Lord could create something right this very minute, millions of whatever kind of creatures He wanted to make, and command them to love Him, and they would have to love Him. That's not the way the Lord is. The Lord wants us to love Him because we choose to love Him because He's worthy of being loved. And He is. You're going to have to fight on one side or the other anyway. If you're going to play around in your sin, you're going to be sinful, and you're going to live a life like that, you're going to have anguish and suffering. That's what the Lord promises those that want to live that way. Anguish and suffering. You're going to have hard times, and you're going to be miserable. And you're going to suffer. But now if you take Jesus' yoke upon you, He said His burden is easy and His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And it is. It's easy to carry and it's still a burden, but it's a burden that's worth something. I just wrote a fellow in prison that I love very, very much. One of the fellows that went through the program. And he's still misbehaving and fooling with the drugs and won't listen to the Lord, so the Lord's going to send him to state prison. And I wrote him a letter, and I told him, I said, I love you with all my heart, and I ain't going to stop praying for you. I said, and I'll do anything in the world for you except lie to you, just like I told you way back when. I said, but one thing I noticed between me and you that is different is that you like suffering for nothing. I don't like suffering that way no more. That's the only difference I know in me and you right now. And I sent him that letter. I ain't heard from him. But I'm going to find out where he's going in state, and I'm going to write him some more. And keep loving him, because I do love him. And I want him to be all right. But that's you. You love the Lord because you choose to love Him, because you really do love Him in your heart. And I'm telling you, when you start loving the Lord, when you love Him, He gives you so much love back that it's incredible. It's incredible. But displeasing things to the Lord will get your prayers not answered. Mark chapter 11. We got two more. Let me give them to you. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, it ain't hard to figure that one out. What in that verse right there does the Bible say will stop our prayers from getting answered? Failure to forgive others. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody that you can think of right this very second that needs your forgiveness? Why won't you forgive them? You say, Brother TV, you just don't know. No, I don't. I don't know. You say, I feel like an idiot. I feel like they got away with it, or they this, or they that. Well, the Lord didn't say that you wasn't going to feel that way. And He wasn't going to say that they didn't deserve it. He just said, forgive. You going to live that way the rest of your life? Or are you going to obey the Lord and forgive? You know, we're talking about all this stuff about it getting you prayer, keeping your prayers from getting answered and stuff like that. Just about 100% that we've talked about so far is on purpose. You know, doing right most of the time is going to be against your will, because your flesh don't want to do right. Your flesh wants to make excuses about doing right. And the Lord says that we should forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. It ain't easy forgiving, but yet it is easy forgiving. Depends on whose mind you're thinking with. You got to trust the Lord that He'll be your strength when you go to forgive somebody. But if there's somebody in your life that needs your forgiveness, what a better way to be Christ-like than to go to that undeserving person that done whatever they done and said whatever they said. Or even if you can't go to them, you forgive them in your heart. And you mean it. And every time it comes up, from then on, you say to yourself, I distinctly remember forgetting that. I can't remember that anymore. You say, I can't forget. That's part of forgiving, is forgetting it. Forget it. Forgive it and forget it. And the way that you know that you have forgiven the thing is that you, if you ever come face to face with them again and that thing pops up in your mind, you immediately put it in the trash can and stomp it down because it is forgotten and you treat them like it never happened on purpose. You know that's what the Lord's done for us. You don't think the Lord... Every time we read in the scriptures about the Lord forgiving something, a lot of times, I said every time, but a lot of times in the scriptures when the Lord says, I'll forgive their sins, one thing He adds on to the end of that, and I will remember them no more. Part of the way of forgiving somebody is not remembering. And that's on purpose. Forgetting is not magical. It's laborsome. Not forgiving others, failure to forgive others, will stop your prayers from getting answered. Because you're coming at the Lord with the wrong attitude of a heart. You're hating in your heart. You got malice in your heart. You won't forgive. You're wishing something bad on somebody else. Or you just want to hold a grudge against somebody because they done you wrong. Maybe they did. And you didn't deserve what you got or what they done to you. But that's not the issue. The issue is moving forth. Like Paul said, from this point on, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We got a whole different outlook on things now. Everybody deserves forgiveness. And you talk about something that'll heal something up is forgiveness on purpose. What does a person appreciate the most? Somebody that has to forgive them or somebody that chooses to forgive them? Yeah. Failure to forgive others will stop your prayers from getting answered. And finally, my brothers and sisters, one more. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. A lot of the things that you don't have answers to your prayers for is because you haven't bothered to ask for them. Now, granted, the Bible does say that God knows what we have need of before we ask. You say, well, why should I ask? Well, why do you tell your children that if they want something, a cookie out of the cookie jar, to come and ask? if they already know the cookies are there and that they're supposed to be eaten and they're good and they're sweet and everything, why do they have to come and ask? Not asking. The Bible says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One reason that you don't get your prayers answered is because you just plain haven't asked yet. So let me just go over these things one more time. We've had a pretty good lesson today, haven't we? And gone over a lot of things and probably been convicted quite a few times. I mean, I know I have. If you can go through a list like this and nothing pricks your heart and you ain't got no thoughts of anything having to do with why your prayers couldn't get answered, man, you're living better than I am. Pride, lack of compassion, failure to listen to God's word, double-mindedness, selfish motives, unconfessed sin, stubbornness, poor relationships and marriage, holding grudges, displeasing things to the Lord, bitterness, failure to forgive others, and not asking. Now, how do we get all these hindrances to our prayers removed? Well, we just read the verse. The Lord said, if we'll come and confess them and tell the truth, Lord, I'm proud, and I hate that pride in my heart, and I know it's there, and it's like I can't do nothing about it. It controls me, and I'm trying to fight it, and it overpowers me sometimes, Lord, and I just need your help in confession. Not confess to everybody else, confess to the Lord and tell it like it is. Lord, I'm sorry, I ain't got no compassion. I don't feel the least bit of compassion for them. As a matter of fact, I want to choke them. But would you help me to be compassionate like Jesus, please? I want my heart to be like Him. I want to be compassionate, Lord. Lord, I ain't been listening to your word. I've been turning the shoulder to it, and I heard what you said, but I kind of ignored it, and I'm sorry. Confession. Lord, I know which side of the line I'm supposed to be on, and I know I've been straddling it, and I got one foot on one side and one foot on the other, and I don't want to be like that. I hate myself for being like that, and I wish you'd just help me, and I'm asking you to help me. I confess that to you. Lord, I've been selfish as I can be. Every time I go to think about giving somebody something, the only thing I can think about is what I got left after I give it. And I'm sorry. I hate myself for being like that. Please help me not to be selfish and be compassionate and give. And help me to give with a cheerful heart. Because I get to, not because I have to. I don't want to be stubborn no more, Lord. I don't want to be bitter no more. Lord, help me to love my wife. Help me to honor her. And help me to do it because my heart feels that way and because my heart's like that. And help me to be what she needs and to help her and support her and not her, but me. Help me not to have any grudges anymore. Lord, I don't want to displease you. I don't want to do things that are displeasing in your sight. And every time I do something, it hurts me inside, Lord, and I don't want to do that. As kind as you've been to me. And I want to forgive people. But for some reason, the devil just keeps reminding me of it, and I remind me of it, and I just get off in this thinking thing, and then all of a sudden I hate them again. Lord, I want to forgive them. Please give me a heart of forgiveness. Please help me to forget this thing and forget it all, and not only forget it, but be able to face them and act like it never, ever happened. These things, these are Christ-like things, folks. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what God's Word says. Isn't it beautiful? It's beautiful. You know why? Because there ain't no works in it. It ain't that you do this much, you get this much. It's because of everything that Christ did, we get to be this way. because he has taken away our sins and forgiven us, and we're not held responsible for our sins anymore. We're forgiven. We're on our way to heaven, and now we have the liberty to do right and to be like him. It ain't easy. I tell everybody that I can think of that thinks that Christians are this and Christians are that. Why don't you tell me what a Christian is? Go ahead and tell us what a Christian is. You know so much about Christians. Tell us. Most people just yabba-dabba-doing and popping off at the mouth, because if they really tried and knew what being a Christian was like, they would respect it. Because Christians suffer. When you really living like a Christian, you will suffer for the Lord, and you're carrying a cross. Christian's life is hard, but it's beautiful, and it's a blessing. It's like Paul said. He said, being poor, but having everything. But he said, having nothing, but being rich. Yeah. It's good, isn't it? Well, all right, listen, I'm not going to hold you no more. You've had enough today, but we've had a good lesson today, haven't we? And we're talking about prayer. We're talking about the things that will stop your prayers from getting answered. We talked about 12 different things that the Scriptures talk about, and they were plain about it. There wasn't nothing confusing about it one bit, but in all of them things that stop our prayers from getting answered, the Lord provided us with one, and that's if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He takes that guilt away, and He gives us the power to overcome all these things, displeasing things to Him and failure to forgive. He gives us the strength to forgive and teaches us how to forgive. And, man, you just start living a beautiful life, and you start turning into that image of Christ, and you start becoming a beautiful person that the Lord's going to make you eventually anyway. But who wants to live down here on this earth like we used to live and live in this filth down here in this world down here, and that He's going to burn and not live for Him? Let's live for Him. You'll never regret anything that you do for the Lord. Never. So, the Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And I wish you a wonderful evening. Come on back and let's study some more. Don't be mad. Get those things straightened up and confessed. And come on back, and the next study we're going to talk about things that we can and should pray for. Until the next recording, this is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.